Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Do it here, man.
I don't know.
So
your boy Brandt.
He's just not, you know, what we're seeing is media guys are sort of aging out, right?
Oh.
They're getting old. You know, they're just not as sharp. Hoops Weiss.
He's still got it.
No, he don't. That man's fastball is gone.
Okay.
I mean, he's getting hit.
Is Jesse still doing the Patreon deal?
Don't know, man. I haven't checked the. I mean, I know. We stopped having him on because he admonished us for not reading it. So, you know, we had to stop doing it. I mean,
I don't remember that. Did he really?
Oh, dude. Yeah, he did, man. He admonished us for not. He's like, you guys didn't read my Patreon? No, bro.
Well, I mean, that's why we had you on to talk
about
it.
Yeah, like, I mean, you talk about your damn Patreon.
You're behind the wall, bro.
Yeah, I mean, with all due respect, why would I subscribe to Peter Vesey? I mean, you know, what does that mean? You know, I don't.
Well, Woj showed you today. He's not getting old, is he?
No, Woj has definitely got he's still got great command of the fastball. A little worried about Shams. A little concerned here because he's gotten some stuff wrong. Starting to, you know. Didn't he say,
It's a tough day for him.
In the draft, he said not Scoot Henderson was going two. Now, Woj said Jabari Smith was going number one in the draft before when Paolo went number
one. Yeah, Woj has been wrong before.
So, I mean, look, everybody gets
but this
wrong.
Is conflicting information. The two of them
no
going
doubt.
Head up.
Yeah. This is honestly, and you and I have been, not maybe here, but we've been in this arena.
I don't even like thinking.
This is a low time for Shams personally. Like, he's going through it today.
Especially the more and more that this looks
he's
real. Like, at first, you're hanging on, right?
Exactly.
I even saw at the front page of The Athletic, they still had his story about JJ still posted underneath this news story, of course, that ESPN broke, and Woj, obviously, they've taken that down.
Yeah.
It's not, at least it's not featured on the front anymore.
It's honestly.
So the more real this becomes with Hurley, the tougher day it is for Shams. Like, that's tough.
I'm sure he trusts the person that told him, you know, but he was clearly
duped.
Well,
he has the agents.
He does.
Woj has the front office.
I mean, I believe his agent is Clutch.
Clutch.
Yeah.
He has all of Clutch.
Yeah.
And he has players.
Right.
Woj has the front office.
So the Lakers.
And the Lakers said,
deceived
we got
Clutch.
Something for you.
That's what it feels
right,
like.
That's what they said.
Yeah. Yes. That they made a chess move and said, we're going to focus on.
But here's where I'm confused. If LeBron really isn't calling this. Mm-hmm. And remember yesterday we were saying, oh, that's just him trying to spin it. Mm-hmm. And we had every reason to believe that this was the case.
Correct.
Him saying, I'm not involved in everything else. That's what doesn't. I can't make sense of, because you take that information from Shams, you're figuring you're getting it from Clutch and from Bron, and you're all good, right? But even LeBron publicly had been saying, this ain't my call.
Right.
And so Shams just seems so sure.
Yeah, it's a.
How can you trust Clutch if LeBron is truly not, if they're not making the call here? How can you trust to run with that info?
That's true.
The chance here that you'd get.
That's true.
You know, you'd be wrong.
Somebody that's, was lied to, no doubt about
man,
it.
Yeah.
Or maybe overzealous. I don't know. I don't know how that necessarily went. It's hard to say. But
And again, you were picking the guy that only had one interview, still hanging on that he was the guy.
And I guess you were like,
so that has to be information you really trust. You know, or somebody said, no, this is it. Yeah. Trust it. Borrego's been there twice, but I'm telling you, Reddick's the guy. You know, somebody's telling you that.
It's a hard
for you to run that report out
there. It's hard, bro, because you have to really do a lot of that.
And you and I both know things change.
They certainly do change.
That's the other thing that happens on you. You report one thing that ain't true 2-3 hours from then.
Like,
because situations change. No.
Dude, there's the information, you know, again, like when you have a journalistic sort of standard and you're not just splattering everything across the wall because you don't care about your reputation.
Right.
I mean, the barrier of entry is incredibly high, and a lot of it is, I got a vet. Do I believe this?
That's the Lakers. It's as
nobody,
big as it gets.
Nobody, like, you're not going to see the emails. You're not going to see the drafted contracts. You're going to have to go off of what this person is saying at the end, right? I mean, and certainly maybe there were multiple, which would help. But in the end, when you are a reporter and you're breaking a story like that in the way that Shams did, he's essentially just believing what this person told him.
Just being in Shams' shoes and thinking about what JJ said yesterday. I'd be sick to my stomach.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Especially the more this becomes a reality.
Like, I was
please,
there.
Please, please.
Again, it was not on this scale, but I had to learn this the hard way. But when I was going through the Austin Nichols recruitment, and I was told directly by Austin, I'm not ever going to Memphis. It's not happening.
Then the info changed.
And then he ended up
you
going to Memphis.
What was the case at the
you
time?
You know what I mean? Like, what?
We don't know if that's the case for Shams here. It could be.
It was literally coming from him.
Right.
You know, maybe.
You were getting it from the source.
Right. And I'm sure that he got it from someone close to JJ or close to the Lakers, like someone close enough to where if they say something, you would believe it. I mean, when you had the Will Barton draft tweet, you know, you trusted the person that told you that.
Yeah.
Something got miscommunicated. Somebody didn't lie to you.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Right? I mean, it's just like, but it's, you know, it happens.
I appreciate it.
If I'm going to bring up my stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got to throw one of yours in there.
Well, you let me do that.
Well, you clearly weren't going to do it.
You don't do it for me.
I was waiting on you to do it, but you didn't do it.
I appreciate you, bro.
But yeah, it's a tough business. And so I sympathize.
It's Charlotte!
Yeah, it was Charlotte. And
that's what the man beside Will at the time told
me. He was sitting next to
him. He was literally next to Will.
He was sitting next to
him. And he was wrong.
How is that possible?
But it didn't matter that he was wrong. It made me wrong.
I don't think I'm probably the only person that remembers.
And I look back, and it was the first draft I'm trying to cover where, you know, you got Will Barton that's a tiger or whatever
Was that in the first round or was it still in the second?
I think it was still second.
Okay.
He was second round guaranteed money, but he was second round.
Yeah.
Remember why he dropped. It was the whole
Was it Rollo?
Rollo.
Exactly.
Yeah. Will should have been a first rounder.
Yeah, based on his production.
No question.
But, it happens in the information game. You're trying to be first. You're trying to be out there. You're trying to, you know, and especially at that level.
Shams will be back.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
Bulls got him, though, it looks like.
But it's a tough one, yeah.
Mm.
And you know the history between those two as well.
Well,
you know?
It's pupil and student, no?
Yeah. And they're not on good terms. Like,
how bad is it?
I think it's pretty nasty.
What got it to that point?
Shams started really being him.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, Shams kind of, like, he left his wing and started, like...
Well, he can't blame him for leaving leaving the nest, so you can't resent him for that.
I think it's just, like...
Once he gets to his level, you resent
him? Yeah. Oh, yeah, the perception that Shams is, like...
His direct competition.
Now the man.
Right,
yeah, for sure.
Woj doesn't appreciate looking at the two of them.
No doubt. Because that's Woj's food, right? I mean, scoops. That's his career. That's his job. He's not Brian Windhorst who's going to sit down and write an investigative story, you know? He's the scoop man, the Woj bomber. And here comes Shams, right? I mean, it's just like you're infringing on my territory now. So,
do you have someone in your life that was at one time, right, a mentor, but then now you can't stand each other? I don't have any. I don't know. Because I patched it over with Jeff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I mean, I definitely had people that I was, like, you know, like, competing with and feuding with. And
Well, that's different.
But they were never, like, my mentors.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
We
need the 30 for 30 on these two.
Yeah, we do. I mean, it's fascinating dynamic for sure. All right, we'll come back, get the latest on Dan Hurley, latest on the NBA Finals. Faye Brad's coming up, too. Don't miss it. Jason DeJohn, on Eternal FM, ESPN. We do the rundown. Let's go.
It's the Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, Dan Hurley. is in the mix, ladies and gentlemen. Dan Hurley is in the mix for the Los Angeles Lakers opening, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. Talked to some people that I am very confident in knowing the situation, and they do ultimately think it will go the way of Dan Hurley taking the job at with the Lakers, I should say. And look, I don't know how many college coaches have succeeded. Are there notable jumps from college to NBA that have been successful?
Again, the ones I pointed out weren't. I mean, Rick,
right?
Cal.
I mean, I guess Brad would be the only one, and he ended up having to move to the front office. You know,
he was good though.
He was good. He was good.
I don't know that he's the only one, but I mean, it's, and again, what would you call Billy Donovan with the Bulls?
That
hasn't been successful.
Not great.
No, it's not. It's not. That's not even good.
But I forgot that he was with the Thunder. I mean, that Thunder 2015 season was good, but that was because he had, you know, Durant and Westbrook.
No, that's fair.
But I mean,
I didn't. I should have included his OKC days as well.
Let's see.
Man, it's not one. Not a title.
It's really not a. I mean, PJ Carlissimo went from Seton Hall to Portland.
Well, and Latrell choked him later.
Right. So that, you would say that was not successful.
I don't think so.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Brad Stevens is the you know, Brad Stevens. I don't know, when was this article written? This article was written in 2019. At the time, Billy Donovan had an above 500 record in the NBA, and Brad Stevens had an above 500 record. Every other former college coach who made the jump did not have a winning record in the
NBA. I'll say this about Brad. He didn't have to change his style in
yes.
the way that Hurley will have to.
That is true. That is
he was already
true.
Calm, cool, and collected.
Yeah. It's a good point. I mean, and look, I don't know how much Dan is going to have to do that or what, you know what I'm saying, like what he will have to do. I do want to take one.
Patino wasn't that. Cal wasn't that. And it didn't work for the
Lakers. Exactly. Exactly. One point I want to take from all this is that there are some people who are using this. I've seen the articles written already. They're using this as some referendum on college sports, that if Dan Hurley leaves UConn for the Los Angeles Lakers, that it is some sign of doom and gloom for the state of college basketball. And to that, I would say, how in the hell do you get there? I mean, he is not leaving to coach the Atlanta Hawks in this case. He's not leaving to coach the, you know, Cleveland Cavaliers even.
That's fair.
I mean, he's leaving to coach the job, right? The job.
Them are the, yeah, I guess. I mean, them are the Celtics.
The Celtics are set up better today, right? I mean, but yeah, either one of those, right?
It's the two most prestigious organizations in the league.
He's also getting his salary conceivably tripled. I mean, I feel like
he's not leaving if you don't.
Yeah, so he's leaving the Lakers and he's getting his salary tripled. Why is this some, like, oh, what a dark day for...
Well, it's not so much about that, but it's literally the rules.
I mean, yeah.
It's the state of the thing.
It is, but that's true whether or not Dan leaves or goes.
Like another guy bailing, and you've had Jay Wright leave, and you've had Coach... And they're
Fair
leaving
enough.
Partly because... Now, some of those guys are old, Roy and those guys,
right.
But they're partly leaving because they don't like what they see. And we can argue this about, you know, frankly, guys, it's... You have to be able to adapt. You and I have said that as a college coach. You're still getting paid millions, so we don't want to hear you whine about it. But let's be real. It takes they've lost their control, that this power that they used to wield as the true king on campus, right, with their programs, you don't have that anymore because there is no penalty for transferring anymore. Now it's a deal where, again, these players have the power. They're sitting in front of you telling you, you accomplished college coach, you got to give me more money or I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And so you've lost that, and that's why K is out. I mean, that is the reason. You've lost some of that control. And so not Hurley signaling it, you know, leaving is the – this is already happening in college athletics and
yeah.
college basketball. But I don't know. I mean, it, we're not in a good place, bro, with college basketball, I wouldn't say.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Is it the end of it? No. Never. It won't end.
Yeah.
But we're at such a place – it's so – you know, unruled right now. It's so ungoverned. It's hard.
Well, and you got your sitting Memphis coach actively telling you how badly he wants to be an NBA coach.
But, you know, again, he's an NBA guy, right? Like, I understand that. You know, Dan Hurley is not an NBA guy. Dan Hurley is a college coach through and through. It's his entire family, right? His brother is a college coach. He's been a college coach. Like, they don't have the NBA lineage. Penny Hardaway has made no secrets about the way he wants to. He's tried to run an NBA program at Memphis, basically, right? And that's why, in some ways, I think it hasn't worked. People are tweeting me Larry Brown. Larry Brown was an NBA coach before he was a college head coach, believe it or not. He was a head coach of the Denver Nuggets in 74, and then he was UCLA in 79. So I don't think he actually ends up counting in this scenario because he was NBA first. Is that survey
that's,
says?
That's fair.
I mean, I'm looking for your judgment.
That's a guy
here
who bounced back and forth, but you're right. I mean, he started in NBA.
We're talking about guys that started in college and went to NBA. Not the other way around.
Yeah. You got his whole career in
he
front
was
of you.
I don't need his.
You did not know when he started as a head. You got it in front of you, and that's why I'm going to defer to you.
I don't need to Google Larry Brown's career.
That's right, because y'all are best friends.
It's tattooed on my left arm.
And on one buttocks, you've got his NCAA championship, and on the other, you've got his NBA.
And then in the middle, it says only person to have done. Ever. You know?
How many times do we hear that line from you?
That's right. Now, he did start as an assistant, but that doesn't count. He started as assistant in North Carolina. And then went to the
Nuggets. I don't know, John. That might qualify as a college start there, bro. I depended on you here.
Well, where was he going to be a janitor?
Because what? He was a Dean Smith guy, right?
Yeah. He was not a head coach, bro. We're talking about head coaches.
But he started NBA.
Yeah, but I mean.
We might have to let this one. They may have it here, John. I'm going to have to give it to him. He started NBA.
He started at Carolina as an assistant. And then in 72 to 74, he coached the Carolina Cougars, which is the ABA. And then in 1974, he coached the Denver Nuggets. In 1979, he went from the Nuggets to the UCLA Bruins.
His first job was as an assistant in college, you're telling me?
Yes, at North Carolina. But he was not a head coach, though. He was not a head coach.
He started a college guy.
I mean, how many NBA coaches don't start as college assistants?
Right.
What was he, a video guy?
That's what I've got tattooed on my tail.
He did,
because I know the story of Eric Spoelstra.
He never coached in college at all.
I don't know. Came up through the video room. Okay. It sounds like you may have something.
Tuss Herten.
That doesn't. What is that? Is that a college?
It's in Germany, Bundesliga. Tuss Herten.
You asked me for one. I gave it to you.
Yeah, no, it's not college. He never coached in college. That's actually amazing that he never
film room, buddy.
That he was
stuff of legend.
He started with the Miami Heat in 1997, and he has been there ever since. That is unreal. I mean, that's really remarkable. How many years is that?
That's VHS tape.
27 years. Yeah, he was. Yeah, 27 years.
Yeah,
he was there from the VHS to the DVD to the Blu-ray to now whatever it is streaming.
Well, he don't touch the stuff.
Google
now.
Drive.
You bring it to him.
Yeah, everything's on Google Drive now.
Lon Kruger.
Yeah, Lon was on this list, but he didn't have a good NBA career. He didn't have a good NBA coach.
Was that Hawks?
Yeah, 69-122.
Oof.
So he was
failure.
Yeah, he was not. We're looking for the success stories, and we might just have to settle for Larry Brown at this point. It all roads
Billy's done
back.
Pretty well, right? Billy Donovan.
No, well, no. Okay, so if you count the OKC tenure.
People have been talking about him getting back into college for a couple of years now. Like
399 and 319 in his career over 9 seasons in the NBA.
That's probably going to be about the best you're going to find.
Then Stevens.
Right, him and Stevens.
Brad's at the top.
But then, like, okay, we're going to say Larry Brown, we're going to say Stevens, we're going to say Billy Donovan, and then that's it. That's honestly it. Everybody else is under 500. Everybody else is bad. So, you know, again, Dan Hurley's a sicko. He's a maniac.
Yeah, he's going to have to change his style.
And he could do that. I mean, he could certainly adapt. I mean, he's
can he? He's high. He's red blooded, man. His blood.
I don't know. It's an interesting question. I mean,
that stuff doesn't work in the league. I'm telling you.
I mean, I guess I would ask why the Lakers think it will. Right? Why do the Lakers think that his style? Why does Pelinka think it will work? That's what I would like to know. Like, what is it? Do you think he'll either change, or do you think that maybe that's what you need? Or
well, you're telling yourself you got the next Brad Stevens.
Yeah, but Brad was, like you said, he was definitely low key.
Style,
you know,
that worked with grown men.
Who's the most out of control NBA coach on the sidelines? Like, who's the worst right now in the NBA? Who would you say is at the top? I mean, Quinn Snyder, maybe. I don't know if he's even
He seems like he's a little more low key these days.
Yeah, I think he is. Like when you think about the guys that throw temper tantrums.
That's a great question. Tom Thibodeau probably, right?
I mean, Thibodeau always complains.
Yeah. I mean, Carlisle was complaining a lot this past series.
I don't
think of him as a guy that's always on work.
I think there's a little bit of Thibodeau to Dan Hurley.
I don't think there's a wild NBA coach is the point here.
Yeah.
Just in terms of emotions and sideline rants and everything else. That's the point.
Right. He'd be one of one.
Yes.
Yeah, because Mazzulla don't ever show no kind of like.
You try that stuff he does with the college officials on an NBA official.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ain't Draymond Green. They ain't going to let you get away with it. They'll roll their eyes at you and tech you.
Yeah. I mean, because all these guys are, like you said, I mean.
Again, what you said may prove correct that Danny will adapt.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny can adapt. He's going to have to. Period.
Yep. And he will.
Rants don't, that don't, stuff don't work in the NBA. 82 game seasons, these do get tired.
It might be
Malone. They've seen it all.
It might be Malone. Malone.
Oh, it is. Yeah, he's there.
He gets pretty unhinged.
These playoffs too. He was out on the floor.
Oh yeah, he gets crazy
on the one.
Yeah, he's the only one. But I mean, he's got Joker. So it's
Malone's
like,
a good call.
He's the only one.
Did you come up with that? Somebody sent it to you.
No, I'm just looking at the list here.
Billy doesn't do anything except sit on the bench with his hand.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these guys, right? I mean, I can't tell you what Will Hardy does for the Jazz. I can't tell you what.
No, Will's smooth. He's not loud at all.
Jamal Mosley with the Magic's low key. I mean, most of these guys just kind of dagnaught with the Thunder. I mean,
JB was a little more animated this year because he knew it was his ass.
That's right. He got fired. So every bad call was like, damn it, man. You know I'm going to get fired after this, right?
He was on him.
Yeah, he was. He definitely
was
riding him all year.
He knew the score, though.
Absolutely right. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting dynamic if Denny ends up doing it. It seems to be that's the way that things are headed as of right now. And it'll create an opening for UConn that we assume will just be filled by an interim at this time. Maybe an assistant gets the call. And how many guys will transfer, if any. You know, I think that's sort of the upshot of it right now. So anyway, big day, big news in college basketball on a Thursday.
Next story.
Story over at The Athletic that I thought was particularly enlightening in terms of what Dallas has done in making these NBA finals and what they could still accomplish if they win. They became the 16th team in NBA history to make the NBA finals after not qualifying for the postseason the year prior. Okay, something that obviously the Memphis Grizzlies will be hoping to do next year. You know, a run to the finals coming off of a year where you don't make the playoffs. And I mentioned it to John. They're looking to be just the seventh team to go from not making playoffs to actually winning it. So it does not happen often. It has happened fairly often recently, though. So for the six times that's happened, the last time we mentioned it, we've actually used this example a lot in terms of in our Grizzlies talk about how, hey, you bounce back like the Golden State Warriors did in 2022. There are a lot of reasons why they ended up with the number two pick. Right in the draft, ended up taking James Wiseman. A lot of them based on injury, obviously, but they had the star power and everything else to bounce right back. Then you had the 2020 Lakers counting that boat, the 08 Celtics, 77 Blazers, and 75 Warriors to go along one more, 1956 Warriors. And so, again, over the history of the NBA, it has not happened, though, while it has picked up here recently. So that's, you know, it's not just good news for the Dallas Mavericks in terms of, okay, well, you don't have to just subscribe to this narrative that the Celtics are the ones that have been here and history says they'll win.
Mm-hmm.
You can get this done. It's been done fairly recently. And of course, as we've said, the running theme through all of those teams that were doing it is the superstar. And you've got that in Luka Doncic. You don't have to go with the narrative here. Although I will say, in the end, I'm sort of—it's not just Boston's experience; it's how deep they are.
Yeah.
It's with Drew and everybody else. Again, the Celtics are the team now that have been here at this point, two finals appearances in the last 3 years. Jason Tatum saying, you know, everybody's trying to make this about him and his legacy and how he's got to lead the Celtics through it. Frankly, he doesn't have to set aside the his legacy. He doesn't have to lead them through it because they got freaking Jaylen Brown. They got Kristaps Porzingis back. They've got a champion in Drew Holiday. They got Derek White playing at an unbelievable level on both ends of the floor. Jason Tatum can be the second or third best player for the Celtics, and they'll still win this series. That, I don't think, again, you know, we talked a little bit about this with Nick Friedel. Says, okay, he goes and wins finals MVP. He's cemented, right? There's a chance he's not the finals MVP because this team is so freaking loaded.
Agreed.
So it's not just the experience having been here that they've got on their side. I just think, again, you look at all the options. The fact that it could be on some nights Drew Holiday that's leading them and not their Batman and Robin. Might be Derek White on a night, could go off for 26 and do a hell of a job defensively on Kyrie Irving or Luka Doncic. That's the thing with the Celtics that's going to be so hard to overcome here, in addition to the experience they've got being in these playoff spots, finals a couple of years ago. So, again, I don't want to get too deep into the breakdown of our X factors and everything else. John's basically already, you know, you have. You've picked this, and hopefully Brad wasn't listening, although it sounds to me like Brad's kind of already made his choice, so I don't think you can sway.
Have you made a choice, Brad, yet? Have you?
I mean, one of the things to keep this honest is I literally take a, very advanced, of course, John, because we were following your lead on this when you, set off and you kind of set this up.
That's right.
I mean, you believed in the bet early before it really failed.
I had a good feeling.
Yeah, I mean, you were way ahead, you would lose. Yeah, and FanDuel was too. It, well, apparently, according to the limits. So yes. You can see, I've got the paper here. I've circled it right here on the paper, and then I've also got a bonus pick. I had to go searching though for my bonus pick on Porzingis, which we'll give you in about 15, 20 minutes or so, because a lot of these FanDuel places, they don't want to put this one out there. Maybe it's because they're afraid they'll lose money on it.
Is there's uncertainty with KP. You know, that's the problem, right? It's like they don't know
what you're going to get. And he's never played past the first round, apparently.
That's a problem.
I read that. You know, this is a different level.
Yeah.
It is. Since the start of the 2017 playoffs, Celtics have reached the East Conference Finals six times. Brown in all six of those. Tatum in five, appearing in the league's championship. Obviously, second time in 3 years. Over those 8 years, Boston has played in more playoff games than any other team in NBA history without winning a championship, all while playing for a franchise that's hoping to move past the Los Angeles Lakers for that 18th title.
Big failure if they don't get this done.
126 playoff games over the last 8 years, the most in NBA history without winning a championship.
And this is definitely
their
chance.
It's their time.
It's time, boys.
It's what we've said from the get-go.
Yeah.
And especially the moment that Denver was dispatched by Minnesota. That's when it became all pressure's on Boston here. There's no excuse to not win the finals.
Yeah, I'm very curious. I'm very curious to hear where you're at on this one, Brad, because, look, I think this is... You know,
I've waffled.
I think any championship series, any championship game should not be obvious. If it's obvious to you, then it's probably not right.
Well, and you've pointed this out many times in analyzing these spreads. These spreads are set up by close margins when you put a line on this thing, no matter which way you're going to go with the win.
Put it this way. This number did open six, got bet out to 6.5 pretty much immediately on Thursday, and every sports book on the planet has been taking click upon click upon click upon click to the tune of tens of thousands of hundreds of thousands of dollars at 6.5 both ways, right? They are comfortable with this number, right? They don't care who wins.
They got a week to do it.
They have hammered this thing out. They're comfortable either way. You want to lay 6.5 with Boston? Sure, no problem. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take 6.5 against the machine, plus 6.5 against the machine that is the Boston Celtics getting back KP?
Yeah.
Good luck. that's what it is.
Are you betting this series at all, John?
I'll probably, like I said, bet it game to game. I think I would probably, because of the home court advantage here, I would probably have to bet the Boston Celtics minus 210, but I'm just not really interested in tying up, $2,000 to win $1,000, over the course of a series, especially fading Luka.
Right.
I feel like I'm getting to a point as a bettor now where, like, even though from the numbers perspective, it's clearly, and the Celtics are a better team. They're a better team than the Dallas Mavericks for the depth, like you said, the guard play overall.
Defenders,
They have more sort of firepower than the Dallas Mavericks. Mm-hmm. But do the Dallas Mavericks have the best player in this series? And I think the answer is yes. And so I'm like, do I really want to fade that? Do I really want to, I don't. I'm not saying that the Celtics won't win. But do I want to have money on the other side of Luka? I kind of am at a point now where I'm like, no, I'd rather just not. I live with the damn results, Again, I'm not betting Dallas either. I'm just abstaining, and that's okay.
Good for you. Exactly. That's okay.
Yeah, this is literally the hardest thing to beat. I mean, this is where the sportsbooks are taking the most money.
Right.
Everything is super mature. There's no secrets anymore, right? There's no edge, there's no nothing. Everybody knows the matchups. Mm-hmm. The only thing we have is fading Brad.
Yeah, don't say that's not an edge. It's the best edge.
And what are we at, 60% basically?
No.
59, 58?
58.
And then, we're right
the percentages
there.
A little do over matter.
58.3. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd have to...
That's still good. Jeffrey, and I appreciate his... He's 50% over the last 2 years on college football. 50%.
Mm.
Okay?
He's 50%.
So 58.3. Yeah. You're doing fantastic.
Pretty large
over,
sample.
Over a sample size of 72 games.
Yeah. Do you have the exact record?
I actually do. Why don't we save it for Faye Brad?
Yeah.
That'll be my little part of that.
I need to. I want to calculate how many units.
30 and 42.
Mm-hmm. 30. So he's. If you fade him, you're 42 and 30.
Correct.
Okay. And everything.
It's 58.3%.
I assume most of these, not all of these, but most of these are going to be -110. Right. I mean, there.
Yep.
How many of these were prop bets? Very few.
Oh no, we did not count as prop bets at all. That's all against the spread. We kept them separate. He is five. He's 3 and 5 on his bonus bets.
Okay, so the size
yes,
all -110.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay, so I'll have to. So 42 and 30 is what you would be if you faded Brad.
That's what faders are. Yes.
Off the top of my head, that's going to come out to about 10 units ish positive. So if you're betting $1,000 a game fading Brad, you won $10,000.
We're up.
Wow. So, I mean,
we are the best edge, especially locally.
That's a huge edge in the NBA playoffs. I mean, anybody.
Give yourself a round of applause, Brad.
Anybody.
Losing has its benefits here.
Anybody that could win 10 units over the course of an entire NBA playoffs, betting every freaking game, it's unheard of.
We've missed a couple because we didn't have lines.
Oh, that's true.
It's not every
available
single game.
The
ones
available. Every
available
lined game in advance.
Now, Brad did at the end there.
I did
you
a couple
in
like that final weekend.
But you did not count those.
Oh, no,
we
I counted
because it was 500.
I
went 500 one weekend.
But it's not every single postseason game. That's important to say. But it is versus the spread this postseason.
Big
that
sample.
Record is just that.
And the little bonus segment, which we did not count in that number, has hit, I think, at a little higher rate.
It's 3 and 5 now because that last one.
Oh, that guy got better. At the props.
Was
okay.
Kyrie went over.
Disregard what I just said.
Yeah, 3 and 5. That, I mean, if, you know, if you're 500, you're losing, unfortunately. And if you're certainly 3 and 5, you're losing. So
some people were parlaying them. They got crazy, John, while y'all were where you were gone.
Yeah, they were doing that when I was here, too. So,
yeah,
I mean, you know, listen.
People are degenerate.
How many picks do you have for us today?
I just have one pick on the game and then a bonus pick.
Okay, a bonus pick. Okay.
On the game.
There you go.
So that'll be coming
up. Runs beautifully. You'll love it.
That is absolutely...
Well, and the analysis is really what people, as Jason can attest, he's
right.
here for it.
Look,
it's,
I mean,
it's thorough.
People want to know what the injury report says.
I mean, I'll look at the ESPN. We'll go through it. There's a lot of real detailed stuff in this thing, John.
It's the GameCast page.
Yeah, it's meaty.
Tell them.
It's meaty.
No, that's what the sports books just can't prepare for.
Right.
So, they ain't ready for this smoke.
Somebody that is willing to go to the ESPN GameCast page, I mean, that is like for real. I mean, that's
deep.
You get limited quickly.
Yeah. I'm not even looking at BetQL because BetQL, I don't need that.
Yeah, you're just going straight to the source.
You've graduated from that.
You've got the FPI. You've got the GameCast. You
know
what it is.
And then you have the opportunity to fade it. Just do the opposite. It's a very easy strategy.
That is
an effective one.
That is exactly right. Do have another one. Want to update on this Elon Musk arrival.
Oh.
Next story.
So he did confirm it yesterday on Twitter. And I know the other part that we were all, you know, curious about with XAI is how much it will use in terms of energy consumption, right? What's this going to mean for Jason's electricity, you know, out there in the dirty Dova? That is certainly on the top of mind of everybody in Memphis. And again, take this for, you know, what it's worth, which I don't know, but apparently 5% more is what it's going to need in terms of, you know, consumption. Going to be about it's going to consume about 5% to the electric load for MLG&W, and it will add 1% to the utility's daily freshwater consumption. So 5% for the electric load, and then 1% to the utility's daily freshwater consumption. Now, why MLG&W feels like they can just take on an extra 5% every day? Hey, I don't know.
They can do that. We got the trees trimmed. That was the problem.
I don't really know if we can do that, but hey, they agreed.
If this messes up our water system.
Right, 1%. It definitely does. Like I
don't mess up our good water.
It does kind of feel like, I don't know, I got a bad feeling. I do.
Oh, you do now.
Well, I mean, I had
you were giving me hell for having a bad feeling, or even being wary of this.
It kind of feels like the beginning of like a scary movie in a way, doesn't it? Like it's going to have a bad ending. Like, oh,
I don't know.
At first, it's beautiful.
I don't have it in front of me. Get Jeff's reference point on what's happened in Buffalo.
Y'all, the movie ain't great right now.
With the solar panel plant. It didn't sound great.
Yeah, so the New York State built Elon Musk a $1 billion factory. It was a bad deal. That's the story at the Wall Street Journal.
It ain't just his brother who's made bad deals.
It was supposed to be the largest solar panel factory in the Western Hemisphere. And the reporting is, the latest is that they laid off 285 employees at this gigafactory, which is exactly what this is going to be, except it's going to be AI. So I don't know exactly the particulars with, you know, the Buffalo and why it didn't work out. But
what if he sees us as slow and easily taken advantage of?
Oh, well, there's definitely. Yeah. So the state, which was then run by Cuomo, was like $1 a day, something like that.
Yes.
It was.
What I thought I heard this morning.
He was the state paid to build a quarter mile long facility with 1.2 million square foot of industrial space that it leases to Musk for $1 a year.
A dollar a year.
In return for a commitment to stay until 2029. It bought $240 million worth of solar panel manufacturing equipment, with Musk predicting in 2015 that by 2020, it would be making enough panels to cover 1,000 roofs. Instead, the unit is averaging just 21 installations a week. The building houses some factory workers, but also hundreds of less well-paid data analysts working on Tesla's self-driving tech and other business. The suppliers Cuomo was expecting to flock to the hub never showed up, and the state has sold the solar panel equipment at a discount or scrapped it. An audit found just 54 cents of economic benefit for every subsidy dollar spent.
54 cents.
External auditors have written down almost the entire New York investment. So that went.
Doesn't mean this will, but.
No, but they lost 46% of their
investment. It was a bad deal for them.
Yeah.
Let's hope we haven't taken. And they were just, city council just talking about bad deals and how we can't afford to have any more. That was in reference to Logie Park.
Yes. Now, they built a billion-dollar building, right? So their capital up front is going to be different than Memphis in this case.
Correct.
So we won't be doing that. So I guess that would be the...
but what have we given them?
We've given them... We have committed 5% of MLGW electric consumption.
That ain't all.
I mean, I don't trust that MLGW is ready for this. Like, I don't know. I have no idea.
It's our infrastructure.
Yeah, like our infrastructure is it's just terrible, and we're gonna bring an AI supercomputer to Memphis.
Given 5% might break the whole damn thing down.
Has anybody like actually sat down and thought about this?
I think Doug has.
Okay, and he has come to the conclusion that we can handle this?
I think that's where we're at. MLGW saying we can do it.
But if we get like a mild thunderstorm, though, it's like half of Memphis is going to be without power.
Except for XAI.
Right, XAI is going to be, you know, that could be a warming center in the winter.
That's what it's going to look like.
I mean, we're going to have to
have those.
They'll
be the only ones with power then.
Yeah.
Just be careful. That's where I started, and it's where I'm. It sounds like you are now.
Yeah, because
let's be careful.
Yeah, right. Because what I've heard a lot of,
been taken advantage of plenty of times.
I've heard a lot of what Memphis is going to offer Elon. What's Elon going to do for Memphis?
John, welcome to the party.
And I think that's a fair question to ask.
We're glad you're here.
What's in it for Memphis? Does anybody have the?
We
answer?
Don't even know how many employees it's going
to
have.
People
did
seem
you
to
read
think
the
not
stories?
Much.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
I mean, it's AI, bro. It's computers.
To Brad's point, Ford's got people going out there driving those 40 miles to go out. Memphians going out there, employees.
Yes.
If we're not even going to have that number going to this thing, y'all tell me how much does it benefit us.
I think it's a fair question, dude.
Austin is booming, right? Everybody points to that, said Memphis is going to be the next Austin.
Did he go to Austin?
No, but in this technology.
I did say Austin yesterday.
Yes, you, everybody's pointing that Memphis will be the new Austin, that it's taken over in terms of. Now, did you read there's another supercomputer in Tennessee? It was among the other stories.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, now we would have potentially the two largest ones in the state.
Well, that's, okay. All right. No, I did not. So is it Frontier?
Yeah, they want to tell you that's like in
Oak Ridge.
Yeah, there it is.
Isn't that where we developed like the nukes? That we tested the nukes back in the day? Oak Ridge, something like that?
I'm going to leave that one on you.
I think that's what we did
confirm.
There.
I can't confirm.
I mean,
now, there are plenty of listeners that are Tennessee historians that can tell you that.
Yeah, it was the Manhattan Project.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was one of the three Manhattan Project sites.
Oh, yeah, so that's Oak Ridge.
Did not know that.
Yeah, Oak Ridge has a history with...
Well, there's land.
It's
all about land. That's why the Ford plant is
no doubt. Yeah, the vast land out there. You can just do whatever the hell you want.
You got, you got room for the uranium
stuff. Nobody's there to check you.
Do we even know yet where he had the French toast?
I think Ricky's took credit for that, right?
Did somebody take credit?
I believe
Ricky,
so.
The Daily Memphian has a column about it today. And there's only a few where you could get those.
Right. I mean, you're just doing the process of elimination.
Yeah. The column was a speculation, though, right? Or did it tell you the place?
I haven't read it.
It was like, this is where he might have had it. I didn't know that we had. I haven't read that one. To Jeff this morning, it didn't show that we had a for sure answer.
I thought Ricky's took credit, which I, you know.
If they did today, then that would be news.
But I do see what you're talking about from the Daily Memphian, but where?
Yeah, it could be here.
Beauty shop. Biscuits and jams.
That's the
Ricky's.
I've seen some people say it was biscuit and jam.
Yeah, but Ricky.
But I don't think we know for
Ricky's
sure.
Ricky's took credit. Ricky said when the most famous person on planet Earth comes to Memphis and George enjoys your.
Well, they're not gonna lie.
Oh, there you go.
There it is.
Yeah, it's a good day. So, Ricky's.
Where is Ricky's?
Ricky's is at East Memphis. So
nice.
Have y'all ever been there?
Oh yeah, dude. Their cookies are unbelievable.
Are you telling me, Drew?
It's all kosher.
Dude, you haven't had their cookies?
So you go for the cookies?
Bro, it's a staple.
But they do breakfast?
Well, I think he just ate the
French toast.
Yeah, for breakfast. I don't know if they do. I mean, I guess they clearly do, but.
Well, French toast is breakfast.
Yeah, but I don't. I go there for the cookies. It's Ricky's cookie.
And Brad, have you been?
I had one. Somebody brought them to me, and I've had them
so
before.
So is it just, it's not just a cookie place, obviously, or just a sweets place?
Yeah, right. I think they offer a litany of things, yes. But I will tell you this, the cookies, and this is not a paid endorsement, the cookies have, they're cut in a certain, they're not like your round cookies, right? They're like very soft, and they're very, I guess you would say, like they're a thicker cut. It's not a traditional cookie. It's like a chunk. I guess is how I would describe it.
Like grandma made. You know, they're longer and they cut them off. They're also handmade, dairy free, and kosher.
They're like shaped like a little rectangle.
Yeah.
Well, I want the first toast.
Well, you can have it all. You can have it all. But every time we get cookies in the house, it's from Ricky's. It's just the truth.
This is an honest question. Does Memphis have anything to lose by doing this?
You know, just the infrastructure failing and, you know, the embarrassment of it not working.
We're already stacking L's, y'all.
Yeah, I mean, the argument would be you don't want another, but this all kind of seems like it came about very quickly, which is maybe like part of my concern. You know, it didn't seem like there were these long negotiations, nothing reported about Elon potentially targeting Memphis. I'm just wondering if, like, Memphis made him promises and guarantees that other places would not. And that's just kind of why this got kind of rushed and put together.
This is how Elon works, though. He'll come up with something a month from now. He probably did 3 weeks of looking, grooming. They had that site ready to rock and roll right on the river.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I guess it was a vacant building anyway, so who gives a damn? But I think it's okay to have a little skepticism about, you know, the...
Thanks.
Because you just don't, again... I need somebody to. I've heard everybody talk about how great this is for Elon Musk. I'd like to know from someone involved what the plan for Memphis is in terms of their, what they get out of this. Where's the reciprocation? You know, jobs? No, because we can't do AI here, right? That's not what we do.
What do you mean? Of course we do.
It's not what we do. We don't do AI.
Drizzy was just using AI.
Yeah.
Drizzy's from here.
He deleted all the songs from his Instagram, though. He conceded. He knew. But yeah, like, this is not the... This is the place you come...
I'm telling you, he saw a bunch of...
For cuisine,
down here.
You know, not computer.
It's a new day, John. He's trying to change the culture.
He saw a bunch of slowpokes down here.
And he took advantage.
That make bad deals.
He took advantage.
Historically. And he took advantage.
I think he did.
Until I see some more of what Memphis is doing.
That's where I was at
yesterday. So now I'm happy that we are now on the same page.
I'm just glad we're not building anything. We haven't committed to build anything.
That's true. That's what's different than our situation
It seems like we have no financial commitment other than the break he's probably going to get.
Huge tax break.
Yeah. which is fine. I mean, we give, our tax dollars are certainly already earmarked for, you know.
Now, we raised Jason's, your MLGW bill to improve the infrastructure. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
And so we're already on the way.
Yes, I've
and
already.
Tony is telling me this too, reminding me. We're already on the way to a
better grid. Oh, yeah, I completely have such
a better grid.
Our higher bills will, equate.
That's what I said yesterday. Elon should finish the damn grid. Make sure it's topped off and ready to go.
It's really
the least you could do.
Yeah.
Exactly. We should be getting something out of this.
Yeah, we should be getting something out of this.
Including blue checks, which I brought up yesterday. Y'all weren't with me then, but it sounds like you are now. May as well throw them back out, too, to those who deserve them.
Oh, you want all Memphians to get a blue check?
What, just those who deserve them. Who it was taken away from wrongly.
I think we need to get Elon on and get you unshadow banned.
Because you know what you can't do when you don't have blue check? Here's what you can do.
DM.
You can't drop into Antoine Hill's DMs, say, hey, man, come on the show. That's you got exactly a big right. visit ahead of you.
Because he's verified
and
you're not.
And I had earned that. I had earned that right to slip into those DMs.
You had really earned it. We both had.
I had with work that we had done. You understand what I'm saying? And now I can't do that because
now
Elon
it's just pay for play.
Says I got to pay for play. Now you're with me.
Oh, I'm with you, dog.
We have never been more on the same page than we are today.
It's no different
on
than
June 6th.
I mean, this is just Pahrump, Nevada right here. Hey, we're going to stop talking bad about Biden.
Talking about Bidenflation.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, in 2004.
Now, we got to get back on the same page there.
I don't know if we can do that.
But other than that, man, I feel as one with you. We are one again. Frank Bilderman.
I'm rooting for the project.
Number one.
Of course, we're all rooting for it. Yeah. We now have real questions and concerns that you didn't seem to care about yesterday, but now you do.
But you know, Elon is a very powerful person, man. He's a very powerful person because his new thing. It's not just Tesla. It's not just SpaceX. It's also Starlink, which provides internet to all of these remote communities. And I'm not talking about remote, Kaiser, Arkansas. I'm talking about in the Amazon. I read a story in the New York Times yesterday about he provided Starlink satellites to a village that had never obviously had access to it. And the leaders of the village, everybody now has smartphones, everybody has all these things they've never had. And the leaders of the village are just ethically and morally very concerned about what the impact that access to the internet has had.
Yeah, it changes everything about their civilization.
He said they say that the village has gone the way of the white people. Everybody's
they on there with TikTok with you.
They're lazy now. They don't want to do anything.
They want to scroll all day.
Yeah, and they now curb it. You can only have internet for 2 hours in the morning.
That's what I need
five
to be doing
hours.
My son.
You know, it's really the same thing. So it's just interesting. There's a greater good maybe, but also harm. You know, I don't know. It's just it's an interesting question. You know, how it on the surface you would think it's a good thing to connect people, right? But maybe it doesn't.
But not
harm
if they have
good.
A need connected for generations.
They don't want to be connected.
Of years.
There are people that don't want to be connected. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like North Sentinel Island. You familiar with North Sentinel Island?
No, it's just like Oak Ridge to me.
North Sentinel Island does not want to have any contact from the outside world. There was a story, I don't remember exactly where it is, but there was a story of a devout, I don't know if he was Catholic or something, but he was from America. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm going to go to North Sentinel Island, okay, and I am going to bring God to the island because God is not on that island, right?
Missionary work.
Yeah. Nobody goes to this island, okay? And they haven't ever really. And so he convinces these fishermen, this happened in the last 15 years. He convinces these fishermen to take him to North Sentinel Island. He pays them and says, hey, drop me off. And I'm going to, I'm going to go bring the Lord to the people on North Sentinel Island. And they drop him off close enough. So he starts to wade towards the island and y'all know what happens, right? He gets speared. They kill him.
You have told me this story. It might have been off air.
Yeah.
When you mentioned him getting to land and they killed him, came back.
And he actually had tried one attempt before he actually met his fate. And the Bible apparently caught the spear the first time and he still went back. And I think at that point, God has really done his job.
He's with the Lord.
He's tried to, you know, maybe warn you. I'm not for everyone, you know. And I saved you the first time with the whole Bible and the spear.
He did.
You know, but then you went back.
Well, the guy was ready to
And that's him. Free will. You know, that is free will.
Have y'all seen the other?
You shouldn't have done it, bro.
Jason is.
Those steps were ordered.
Those steps God didn't was calling have to him be home. Ordered, though. He could still be on this planet.
Memphis news related to your story about Elon. I'm not trying to hijack this. This was just a press release given by Cherry PR on behalf of the Riverfront, the development folks downtown. They're going to be building an observation flyway that begins in 2026, expected to draw 1 million new visitors a year to Memphis on the riverfront, running right there past Tom Lee Park. And they're putting it downtown. We've got the link and all the information on the 92.9 website right now, 92.9ESPN.com. This is a big announcement. They're saying 1 million people downtown driving to the flyaway, which opens in 2026 on the riverfront area.
And what is it?
It's an The Memphis Flyaway broke ground this morning. One-of-a-kind attraction will be the only free and accessible ADA for handicapped folks observation deck on the Mississippi River, expected to draw 1 million people. The location is downtown, visible from two interstates, I-55 and 40. Flyaway will become the premier place to experience the Mississippi River. So it's like a 218-foot distinctive curving observation deck, all funded by the Memphis River Parks Partnership.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Man, that sounds like something million. I ain't never going to do, bro.
No, you'll do it at least once. That go up to the top of Bass Pro.
That's the pyramid. You know, that's different.
No, it's not. You're still going to get a wonderful view from this thing.
So you're going to go to the observation?
I'm sure, probably once.
Man,
now,
never.
I'm a dude that's never been to the top of the pyramid thing. I don't do heights.
Exactly.
But you're doing this. We will all
I
go.
Love that.
There
we
will
all
be
go.
Visitors from the tri-state area that will go to that thing. I've been surprised at how many people I see on the balcony of that damn Bass Pro thing out there. And it's visitors to Memphis. And so to his point,
I mean, maybe you
you'll
kids,
have a
I
lot
know.
Of, we'll all go once,
right.
Us residents, at least once. And then it'll be the outsiders, the
it's
visitors
just,
that
I,
have something
I guess
else
it's just
do.
One more thing to do when you're downtown. I mean,
exactly.
Designed by the same people who did the redesign on Tom Lee Park. So this is
which oh, by the way, is beautiful.
Yes, so it is probably, impressive.
Yeah. It's part of reworking our skyline, man. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I
need new stuff.
I have
down
to
there.
Rethink about like I have kids now, and I'm like, you're going to try to entertain them somehow, and so that's probably what you'll do. You'll say, oh, let's go to the observation.
Right, my mother won't go back.
Yeah. It's free.
I think it's going to be free. It's right there, part of the park.
Yeah, it'll be popular.
That's good.
They're saying a million folks in 2026.
Yeah, I mean, it's expansion.
And don't sound like it's going to be sucking too much from MLGW.
Well, yeah, no power necessary.
Be able to
you
plug
just
into one outlet.
Yeah,
as long as we, you know, don't create more strain on the
more
system.
Stress on
oh,
the
and
system.
It says here they're going to put conveyor belts below it, so that will power his plant. You know, by the people walking on it.
Perfect. We're going to be.
I just made that up. That part was made up.
I think I would agree to that. Actually, yeah. I think
it's human power.
I mean,
free.
A million people should be able to get that done.
Yeah,
right?
No power necessary. MLGW.
Yeah, hey, whatever is clever.
Mm-hmm.
But now I will say Elon is actively invested in the infrastructure working. So, you know, we're all pulling the same rope, so to speak.
You hope.
Don't go to North Sentinel Island, though.
Some
people just don't want to be connected with the outside world.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're ready to be with God.
Right. You may be. Right. That, and they'll take care of that for you.
Yes.
You know? They will do
and
that.
If they miss the first time.
Oh, yeah. Just come back the next day.
Don't
they
worry.
Probably won't the second. Anyway, we'll come back. Jeff Cogs is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about Dan Hurley, talk to him about Memphis. Lots to come. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.